And we'll welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven back on our regular day. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the Bat, at C70. On Twitter with me, as always, Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black, and Tara Wellman on Twitter, and apparently the Spanish broadcast network for the Cardinals, which if you didn't hear that about that, ask Tara about it sometime because it's pretty cool. But a lot of anyway, I'm going to go off on track. We don't need to go on to it. Speaking of really cool things is the fact that since we have last spoken, the Cardinals have lost only one game as they beat the Padres last Sunday on a Adam Wainwright, I think everybody used vintage Adam Wainwright start. Then they go and sweep the Dodgers, which everybody saw coming, and then lose a close game, a game that kind of got out of hand a little bit late on Saturday, but had a chance to win that game, and then a slugfest today against the Reds in Mexico. Tara, you know, again, the Cardinals are now 9-6. They're half game behind the Brewers. They go back to Milwaukee, but on this week, what did you take away from it?
Well, I really liked the changes we saw as far as the approach, both from a pitching standpoint and from the guys at the plate. I mean, we talked about being really concerned offensively about the mounting strikeouts from everyone up and down the lineup. We didn't see that that stark, shocking number of strikeouts against the Dodgers or really against the Reds. I mean, yesterday the first game of the series got a little bit ugly, but they were, for the most part, much better about the at-bats that they were taking. Not all of the scoring came via the home run, which is something we've talked about for the last couple of seasons now, that this team really needs to be able to just kind of, and really, they're sort of designed to hit consecutive doubles in the gap and score runs that way, and that's really what they did against the Dodgers. The pitching definitely had a change of approach as well. They seemed so hesitant. It seemed like no one really was going after some of those heavy hitters, trying to pitch around too many guys, particularly in Milwaukee, and they weren't just going after guys. Well, we saw Adam Wainwright last week start going after guys, and it worked quite well. Then we saw that through that Dodgers series as well. And, you know, I don't think the starting pitchers are yet going as deep into games as maybe they would like to, or maybe they feel like they will at some point, but it's definitely an improvement, other than perhaps the Michael Wacha start, but that was just a bit odd and hopefully not something to be concerned about at this point. But a much better approach offensively and from a pitching standpoint, I think, and shockingly, that's made a difference in the results.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the strikeouts recently. I can't remember if it's last week or the week before, but, you know, they were right there at the top of Major League Baseball, not just in the National League, Major League Baseball. Now you look at them, you know, offensively, they're tied for 10th overall in Major League Baseball. They're 1, 2, 3, 4, tied for 5th in the National League. That's a change, and I think we got to note that. I mean, it feels like, and, you know, first impressions seem to last quite a bit. and, you know, I think there are times where we think that, oh, this is a strikeout team, a team that's walking guys, a team that, you know, Andrew Miller's not any good. Things of that nature that it takes us a while to course correct. And the team has done that. They are doing a better job of putting the ball in play and, you know, and not giving the free passes on the pitching side. And the results are showing it. And so we'll have to wait and see if they can keep that up. I mean, this next three games against Milwaukee is a huge test to see, but it's a very interesting test. I mean, it's how often in a schedule do you get a chance to really measure how far you've come by seeing the same team in the same location just, you know, 2.5 weeks later? And you can, you know, if the Cardinals go out and win 2 out of 3, I think that's a huge thing for them to know that they have made those kind of improvements.
It's also a great opportunity to test the it's early theory, right? Because while it is still early in the grand scheme of a season, it's not that early. And everyone started to settle in a little bit and figure out how they have to go about winning games. So if the Cardinals look like they did in that first series, which, let's be honest, was less than we expected, but still probably not as bad as it was made out to be because of the results. They were competitive in every inning with the Milwaukee Brewers, and I think that that's an important element to this. But they have to be more than competitive at some point in this division. They have to be able to win those games. So they played better this last week. They've looked better since leaving Milwaukee, but they're going to have to, you know, put their money where their mouth is in some respect and win those games in Milwaukee as well. And then not only that, but they turn around like a week later and play Milwaukee in St. Louis again. So yeah, they're going to have their chances to figure out how to win against Milwaukee early. And they're going to have to pick up those wins when they can, because they're not going to be able to wait until the middle of the summer when they're playing up to their level of expectations, because they don't see Milwaukee late in the summer. So they need these games now when they have the chance.
Right. I mean, after this week and next week, the Cardinals will have played 10 games against the Brewers, and they only have 19 on the year. They played more than half of their schedule, like of a Brewers schedule, before they get out of April. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, there is a little bit of it's early, but these results are going to probably matter more than any others, and we'll see if they do. But overall, you're right. I think we saw some really good things about Andrew Miller. In today's game, I've only seen the box score. I didn't get a chance to watch the game at all, but I see that he gave up a walk and a hit. I think he struck out a guy as well. But overall this week, it really feels like he's starting to find something, and that's so huge for this bullpen, because when you can go Brebbia and Miller and Hicks, and you know Myers is throwing hard, there's not, save maybe Tyler Webb right now, there's not a weak link, it doesn't feel like, in the bullpen if Andrew Miller is on his game.
Yeah, and that's going to be absolutely critical against a team like the Milwaukee Brewers, where they have those heavy left-handed lineups where some of those power hitters are coming from the left side. This will be a really interesting test. I was talking with Brendan Schaefer for a series preview, and he and I were both kind of pinpointed Andrew Miller as a key in the series in Milwaukee, because he got just eaten up in Milwaukee the first time around, and some of that is because he wasn't pitching well. Some of it is because the Milwaukee lineup is really, really tough. And all of a sudden, we saw his role sort of go from all-purpose guy to left-handed specialist. I'm not sure that's really where this team needs him to be, but he definitely needs to be able to get lefties out. If nothing else, that's something that he needs to be able to do, so that they can minimize someone like Christian Yelich and not allow him to do the kind of damage late in games that he did in that first series. So, yeah, it's nice to see some progress from him. I think it's the consistency that's going to tell the story for him as far as what his role becomes with this team. But I continue to say they need Andrew Miller to be Andrew Miller, not a shell of who that guy was. And that's not to say they need him to be the guy that can come in any situation, kind of do what John Gant has done much of this season so far. He doesn't have to be that guy, because they have John Gant to do that at this point, but they need him to be able to get lefties out, because that's where they ran up against so many issues last year when you're up against a lineup like the Brewers put out there.
Not too long ago, it may have been the last one that you were on, because I know you had to miss last week's chirps, but you and Alex were talking about Marcell Ozuna. It feels like the conversation on Marcell Ozuna has changed this week. You know, that's what happens when you gain 35 points in your batting average and hit 4 home runs. That being said, we saw that last year. We saw a blazing hot week in May that didn't really portend anything else. Is Marcell Ozuna finally coming into his own? I mean, he hit 2 home runs today, but then, you know, there were a lot of home runs hit today. How much do you factor that in? But it seems to me that barring his interesting routes to up the wall and things of that nature, it feels like overall he's starting to look like he might be that player. Not the player we thought we were getting, but but at least a player that resembles the player we thought we were getting.
Yeah, in all the stories I told you about my trip to St. Louis, I failed to mention watching Marcell Ozuna scale the wall in person. One of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life. However, it's not the point here. Yes, I think it's really good to see Marcell Ozuna sort of locking in, but I'm hesitant to buy in to that being the guy that he's going to be for the majority of the season, because as you said, we've seen him look good for a couple of weeks at a time before and then go back to being pretty dreadful. So I've taken I don't know if a little bit of heat is, it's not even that dramatic on Twitter, but for maybe not instantly flipping the switch and being, you know, Team Ozuna all the way, but I think there's still a lot to be proven, and really he kind of dug that hole for himself, much like Dexter Fowler has, in that we know that the capability is there. That's not ever been the question. It's been the ability to reproduce that night after night and continue to be a key part of generating runs that win games for this team, especially where Ozuna is concerned, because of that all-important cleanup spot. I mean, that's the number of runners that have been left on base with that middle of the order in the last couple of years is just depressing. So for him to really sort of win the confidence, I think, of anyone outside of his teammates that has had a hard time believing he's going to come through in those situations over the last couple of seasons, I need to see it for more than a week, and then maybe we can talk. But notwithstanding, it is great to see him hitting the ball with a little more authority, not hitting it directly into the ground, and doing it more often. So, you know, and his at-bats have gotten better. Again, shocking that when your approach changes, you're taking better at-bats. The results tend to follow, but he's not striking out on pitches at his eyes, and he's fouling off tough pitches. There was actually the first home run today I was watching, and it was one of those at-bats where you kind of saw him lock in, and he fouled off some tough pitches, and you just knew he was going to do something with one of those pitches in a longer at-bat. And then sure enough, he got just enough of it. Man, he didn't even get all of that and was still able to muscle it out over the wall and right. So all of those are good things, but if the question is, am I in on Marcell Ozuna yet? I'm cautious, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, if you told somebody that 2+ weeks into the season, Marcell Ozuna would have a higher OPS than Paul Goldschmidt, I don't know that anybody would have actually believed that.
Yeah.
But that's the case. You know, and you know, if it's 5 home runs or second on the team to Goldschmidt, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, he's only walked twice this year, so I mean, there's still room for improvement. There always is. And I think that being hesitant, like you say, is reasonable. But it is good to see. I mean, we take what we get, and we doesn't necessarily project that forward, but we can still appreciate what has happened. And who knows? I mean, maybe he will, like you say, be locked in and start to click. And because it would be nice if at least one of the outfield spots, or at least one of the outfield corner spots, was a little bit more solidified.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, as we talk about first impressions, there were a lot of good first impressions for Dexter Fowler, you know, taking good at-bats and things of that nature. On the season, though, 6 walks, 14 strikeouts. He had a couple hits today, so his average is up to .220, but it's... Again, it helps that, you know, Jose Martinez, except for his 4-hit game just recently, hasn't necessarily torn it up the place. But Tyler O'Neill, you know, hit a home run today. How long do they... I mean, it's a question we'll probably continue to ask for quite some time, but how long is too long for Dexter?
Yeah, I think as much as anyone have been hesitant to write him off, because I think there's value in what his skill set can be. And I've said this before, I feel like I say it every time I talk about Dexter Fowler, but I think we have to be careful in comparing Jose Martinez and Dexter Fowler, because – their skill sets aren't the same. Mm-hmm. You're not going to put Jose Martinez as a leadoff guy. You're not expecting him to be the on-base percentage guy. You're expecting him to hit home runs or to drive runs in by hitting a double in the gap. That's what you expect out of Jose Martinez. That's not necessarily what you expect out of Dexter Fowler. That doesn't mean that what he does isn't also valuable. But the problem comes when he's not getting on base and he's also not hitting. Then it's not so much, you can't really defend, yeah, but he's getting on base, he's setting the table for the guys behind him, that's what he's really good at, he's been good on the base. Like, when he's not doing that and also not hitting, it gets really hard to defend. So how long do you stick with it? I don't know, because I don't know how long you need to see if the progress he's shown is going to continue or if he's just going to sort of stall out every four or five games and go right back to where he started from. That seems to be more of the trend that we've seen so far in the first couple of weeks, is that he'll have a couple of days where he looks good, he's maybe picks up a couple of hits, is on base a handful of times, and then it's just a whole lot of nothing in between. So when you have someone like Jose Martinez waiting in the wings, even Tyler O'Neill, it gets hard to defend the value that Dexter Fowler can bring to the table when he's not bringing it to the table. So I don't know. I mean, I kind of felt like give him the first month to see what happens, mm-hmm. but if they're in a crunch and they need, you know, they need offense, or in some cases, even if they need defense, he may not be the guy that they can go to every day.
Yeah. Yeah. His on base percentage is right now 333, but that is a little bit boosted by today's results. And we'll have to wait and see. It's also tied with Adam Wainwright for MVP, which is a little bit, of course, Adam has a little bit less exposure, but I do want, I think this is a good way to maybe start to wrap up, but if we want to end on a high note, Adam Wainwright pitched twice this week, and again, it's at home against San Diego, he looked really, really good. No runs, 9 strikeouts, but he does that at home. I mean, if you're ever going to get a good Adam Wainwright start, it's going to be at home, and that's just, his career has been that way. For him to go then into Mexico, and again, a stadium that has a little bit of altitude, a stadium that has the artificial turf that, you know, balls get through and balls bounce, and people, frankly, aren't used to anymore, because pretty much every place they play is real grass. To do that, and then to take a no-hitter into the sixth inning, to just get burned on a couple of balls that, you know, if the Cardinal offense is putting up runs like they can, like they did today, you know, a couple of home runs wouldn't have mattered. It's really has to be somewhat. I know we've talked about, you know, Ozuna had a good week, and let's wait and see. But it's really encouraging to see Adam Wainwright be able to come out and at least somewhat back up all that optimistic talk that he always has.
Absolutely. I mean, I think anytime you get back-to-back starts like that from someone who says they've figured something out, it's a little easier to buy into it the second time around, as opposed to, you know, just hearing what they have to say after the one good start. You know, someone was going back and forth a little bit on Twitter today talking about that game and how Adam Wainwright and Mike Schilt lost them that game. The reality is the Cardinals offense went 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. That's what lost them the game. Let's not kid ourselves. Adam Wainwright went 6 innings, gave up 2 runs. That should be more than enough to give your offense a chance to win the game. And yes, he gave up a couple of home runs. Perhaps he shouldn't have gone back out for the 7th inning, but his pitch count was low. He'd been pretty spot on most of the day. The 6th inning got a little bit rough, but he was able to work his way through it. I think any other pitcher, you don't question sending him back out for the 7th inning. The fact that it's Adam Wainwright and no one's quite sure how much he has left in the tank at the end of a game like that makes people question that move a little bit. But again, 2 solo shots when he's kept guys off base pretty much the rest of the game. He was through 5 innings on 64 pitches. I mean, come on now. let's not take away from what Adam Wainwright did in that game, because the offense didn't pull their weight. It's great to see Wainwright looking like Wainwright, even if it's a different variation of Adam Wainwright. I feel like the last couple of seasons we've seen him trying to figure out what that different variation of Adam Wainwright looks like. Again, there's still a lot of time to determine whether or not what he's doing now is going to be successful every 5 days over the course of a season, if his body's going to allow him to do that every 5 days over the course of a season. There's still a lot of questions, but the thing that isn't a question is, can Adam Wainwright still pitch at the major league level as a successful starter? That, I think, very resoundingly is a yes at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And I mean, if you're placing blame on that game, you could also probably more accurately say Tyler O'Neill could have caught that ball in the ninth. And that's the extra two runs, which after Colton Wong hit a home run off a lefty, which Tara hasn't even brought up yet.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I mean, I think Tara was afraid I'd open the door to, the fact that was one of Colton's only hits for this week, but we're not going to go there.
That's fair.
It's
true.
Yeah.
I can admit it.
The Cardinals brought the tying run to the plate and Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, without those extra runs scoring on, put it on Mike Myers, who pitched well. I mean, he came into a jam, but he was one strike away from getting completely out of it. If he had been able to get that strike, then who knows how the ninth goes. But, it would have been nice to have.
I mean, ultimately, it's a game of execution, not of strategy. There's a lot of strategy to it, but if you don't execute, even the most perfect strategy is going to fail. So at some point, a game like that is not on Mike Schilt for not pulling Adam Wainwright before he gave up the second home run. It's not on Adam Wainwright for giving up two runs in six innings. There are a number of things that happened to generate the loss as a result. And as far as I'm concerned, they're all about execution in that game and, the lack thereof, I guess.
Yeah. But, when Adam Wainwright almost single-handedly won the game himself because he slapped a ball through the infield and drove in the only run at the time. I realize Tiger Woods just won the Masters, but we're not jumping a decade back just yet. I mean, there should be a little bit more boost for
right.
Wainwright there. But again, you look at that game, the Cardinals led in that game at some point in time. And as far as I can tell, and this is not scientifically proven yet, but I think the only game that they have not led was that Saturday game in Milwaukee. I mean, every other game this season, they have led, and not just like, they scored first and then you gave it right back. They have had a lead at some point in time, usually kind of late in the game. So I think that's just showing that this is a team that's not going to get outclassed. It's not a team that's going to be beaten up on, because it seemed like we saw those games last year, right? Get down by three or four runs early on and it's like, we can turn it off, or that big inning comes along and they're just not coming back from it. And this team has shown some resilience so far, at least some combativeness. And I think that's a big thing. I think that's something that they're going to need. Now, maybe this wears them out. You could argue they're going to wear themselves out in April and crash, but I just think that this is a good test for them to say, look, we're competitive all the time. We're going to be in this game. There is nobody. And when you can sweep the Dodgers, who were as hot as anybody, and probably the team that's been to the World Series the last 2 years and could go again, you've got to say we can play with anybody. And that's huge.
Yeah, and I think getting those victories, even if it wasn't a sweep, winning that series against the Dodgers, really silencing Cody Bellinger and much of that lineup that had put up so many runs in the first week or so of the season, that's a huge win. And it gives every time they do that, it proves a little more that they can hang with those teams. And then they go into those late innings feeling like they have a chance. And sometimes that's all you need is to feel like you have a chance. I honestly think Colton Wong hit that home run And my immediate thought was, man, if there's anyone who can spark a rally in the ninth inning right now, it's Colton Wong with the way that he's done that time and time again. The only problem is it was a home run, just hard way to start a rally. But you know, they did. They ended up with runners in scoring position when that inning ended. So they're not ever more than a batter or two away from taking over a game, it seems, and that's a really good position to be in, and they have to know that as well. That has to be a huge confidence boost, especially heading right back into Milwaukee, where they came away on the short end of the stick too many times in that first series.
Yeah, I think this is going to be, like I say, this, they've got Milwaukee, then they come home and they have the Mets, who are not too bad either. You know, not Milwaukee necessarily, but it's still it's a good week test for them. And you know, I don't expect that they're going to go, 6-1 like they did, or 5-1 or whatever that they did since we recorded last, like they did. But you know, if they can have a winning week against these guys, it's, you know, the old Tony La Russa thing, win the series, and
right.
If they can continue to do that, they're going to be in good shape. And you know, right now, I mean, it's kind of interesting to say, but you know, after that rough series in Milwaukee and everybody's kind of down on them, they win tomorrow, they're in first place in the division. And you know, very
weird.
Yeah,
you don't walk away after the first week of the season and crazy things happen.
I mean, it feels, you know, so early to say. I mean, you take a lead in April, okay, well, who cares?
Right.
But yeah, maybe that does tell them a little bit of something, and say, kind of validate even more of what Shildt is doing. And you know, again, I think a lot of us have complained a lot about Shildt keeping the lineup exactly the same, except for that getaway game. You said something about not batting Jose Martinez as leadoff. I'm almost surprised he didn't in that lineup. But then that lineup goes out and scores 11 runs. I mean, which
they did all right.
Is like the ultimate Tony La Russa move. You know, Tony would always put out these junk lineups, and you're like, oh, these guys, and then they'll go out and they just destroy like Clayton Kershaw or Max Scherzer or whatever. I mean, he's done that, and I think we're starting to see a little bit of the benefits. We've seen Ozuna start to hit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, we're still kind of iffy on Dexter, but, you know, maybe there's going to be something come out of that. You know, Colton is, you know, had the home run last night and knows, I think he's really getting that confidence, because he knows now, hey, I've had a rough week, and
right.
I'm still playing. Because sometimes you may believe that a person's going to leave you out there when you go 0-for-5 or whatever, but you don't know it until it happens, and you're still getting into lineup. So that kind of confidence, that kind of steady hand, it looks like it may pay off. And if not, you know, hopefully soon that the things will get shaken up. But for right now, it's, you know, you can nitpick, you can criticize, but I don't think there's a whole lot of value right now in doing that. They're playing well.
Yeah, I mean, I told someone today, if you think you can tell me how good of a manager Mike Shildt is at this point in his managerial career, we have nothing else to talk about. We've seen just a tiny snapshot of what he does in certain situations. We've seen just a tiny snapshot of how he leads in a variety of situations. And we certainly saw some of that last season, but this is a very different situation for him. This is his team. It's his clubhouse. These guys know what his expectations are and how he's going to manage a game. So we've seen a little bit, and I don't think he's been perfect. I think there have been questionable moves, and that's certainly on the table for anyone managing at any level. But there's a lot to like. There are a lot of things left to learn about how he's going to manage some of these guys over the course of a season. And I think, you know, we've heard a lot about how much these guys seem to trust him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is built when they don't feel like they're going to get yanked out of a lineup for having a rough couple of days or having a rough stretch. So maybe the trust being built up is going to show up in the production on the field, because guys are just getting the opportunity to work through some of this stuff. Now, when they have to have a win at some point this season. We'll see if Mike Schilt can adjust accordingly. But at this point, it seems to be working as far as Marcell Ozuna and Colton Wong. And we'll see what happens with Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, it is. It's really early to figure out what Mike Schilt is. That being said, I'm going to do it anyway. I do feel like, and maybe it's just because he did come up through the system and he has the George Kissel, and we've heard the story about George Kissel and everything of that nature, and we know that he's kind of was mentored by Tony La Russa and things like that, but he feels like he fits into this Cardinal fabric maybe better than anybody else could have.
Absolutely.
And I think that that bodes well. I think that that's, you know, you look at the line of managers that this team has had, you know, Whitey, and then you got Joe Torre, and then you have, which was not necessarily legendary here, but, and then Tony La Russa, and then, of course, Mike Matheny. You know, if we're alternating, going back and forth, Mike Schilt's on the upside here. And I think, again, way too early to tell, but I think that there's a chance for him to be, I'm not saying he's a Hall of Fame manager like some of those other guys, but he could be a Cardinal Hall of Fame type of guy in the future. It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, it's, you know, we talk about prospects all the time. We hear about Kyle talking about these guys coming up and wanting to see, but Mike Schilt's like an up-and-coming managerial prospect, and we're going to get to see if he floats, if he becomes this thing, or if he flops. And, you know, right now I think if just because of the communication and just because he seems to have an idea of what he wants to do, results are pretty positive so far, and we'll see if that continues.
And just like a prospect's ceiling is often as much determined by their ability to adapt as their actual talent, that's going to be the same thing with Mike Schilt. I mean, it's one thing to have a great plan. It's one thing to understand the strategy and the mechanics of the game. It's another thing to be able to adapt in the moment and to pull the right strings and to, you know, make things happen that probably shouldn't happen. And those adjustments are going to be what will set him apart as a guy who's more than just a prospect.
Yeah. And that's going to be, you're right, it's going to be fun to watch. All right. Well, Tara and I will be back at you next week. I expect it will be Easter Sunday, but I think we'll still be able to get in there. And we will talk about the Brewer series and the Mets series. And hopefully we're talking about the first place St. Louis Cardinals. But until then, that's Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.